something rather dramatic happens now at this stage. The human, historical Buddha disappears into the past, goes almost out of sight. In Mahayana countries, Vajrayana countries, you'll find the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni, occupies a comparatively unimportant place. So this occurs from about this time, this stage of development. The human historical Buddha, the Rupakaya, the Nirmanakaya, disappears into the past. And Buddhahood recedes into the background. After all, that's rather abstract, not to say vague. Rather, as it were, out of sight, difficult to grasp, difficult to understand. So all that you've got left at this stage, occupying, as it were, the centre of the stage, is the ideal Buddha. Historical Buddha has disappeared. Absolute Buddha, if you like to use that expression, we see that in the background. Only the ideal Buddha is left, the archetypal Buddha. And this, of course, is the Buddha of the Mahayana. As, for example, in the White Lotus Sutra. In the White Lotus Sutra, of course, this ideal archetypal Buddha is called Shakyamuni, but it's obviously no longer the ordinary human historical personality of the Buddha. It's the ideal Buddha, the archetypal Buddha of infinite light and eternal life. But the Mahayana did not rest there. A further development took place. So far, the Mahayana had been thinking vertically, but it now started thinking horizontally. What does this mean? In what way did the Mahayana start thinking horizontally? It started thinking horizontally in the sense that at this stage two more Buddhas appeared. And where did they appear? They appeared on either side of the ideal Buddha. One on his right, or our left, and the other on his left, our right. On his right appeared the Buddha Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light. And on his left appeared Buddha Akshobhya, the imperturbable. So you have three Buddhas now, in a row as it were. The original ideal archetypal Buddha in the middle, Buddha Amitabha here, Buddha Akshobhya there. So what was the reason for this development? What do these two Buddhas represent? Why have they appeared? Well, very briefly and broadly speaking, these two Buddhas appearing on the right and the left, respectively, of the one central Buddha figure, these two Buddhas represent the two principal aspects of the ideal Buddha. Even, we may say, on their own level, the two principal aspects of Buddhahood itself. And they represent them. They represent these two principal aspects, they embody them, as it were, in the form of further ideal Buddha figures. Now, what are these aspects? These two principal aspects of the ideal Buddha, of Buddhahood itself? Well, a clue to this is provided by the emblems, the respective emblems of these two new Buddhas. So what are these emblems? The emblem of Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, who appears on the right hand of the ideal Buddha, is the lotus flower. And the emblem of Akshobhya, who appears on the ideal Buddha's left, is the Vajra. So the symbolism begins to be a bit obvious. The lotus flower is soft, tender, delicate. The Vajra is hard, strong, powerful. The lotus flower is, as it were, passive, receptive. the Vajra is active, dynamic. So we may say, putting it into rather conceptual terms, perhaps over-conceptual terms, we can say that Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, is the embodiment of the love aspect of enlightenment, the love aspect of the ideal Buddha, whereas Akshobhya is the embodiment of the aspect of wisdom, transcendental wisdom. So one has, at this stage, these three Buddhas horizontally aligned. In the middle, in the center, the ideal Buddha, the archetypal Buddha himself, complete, integral, perfect. And on one side, the Buddha of love, on the other, the Buddha of wisdom. Now, there are several variations of this very basic, very fundamental pattern. One can have, for instance, a Buddha in the middle, flanked by two bodhisattvas. Here, the Buddha figure represents the ideal Buddha, the archetypal Buddha. The two bodhisattvas represent love and wisdom, his two principal aspects. There are many variations on this theme. I have no time to go into details. We have now to proceed to developments in the Tantra, in the Vajrayana. Now, how did the Tantra think? The Tantra thought both horizontally and vertically. And as a result of this horizontal and vertical thinking, two more Buddhas appeared. One appeared above the ideal Buddha, the other appeared below the ideal Buddha. For the time being, we can call the first, the one appearing above the ideal Buddha, the Buddha of action. And the second, the one appearing below the ideal Buddha, the Buddha of beauty. So we now have five Buddhas. One in the center, one on the right, one on the left, one above, one below. And these five Buddhas make up what is called a mandala, or the mandala, the mandala of the five Buddhas. And all five are ideal figures, ideal forms. The one in the center of the mandala, is the ideal Buddha himself, the archetypal Buddha himself. Buddhahood, as it were, as a person. The others represent his principal aspects, represent his love, his wisdom, his activity, his beauty. And each aspect is itself, or himself, a Buddha figure. And these are the five Buddhas with whose symbolism we're concerned tonight. But before going into any details of that symbolism, just a few more words about the general nature of this whole development. I said a few minutes ago that the Tantra thought both horizontally and vertically. But this is not quite correct. Horizontal and vertical are only two dimensions. But the Tantra thought, as it were, three-dimensionally. So here we must really start using our imaginations. We must imagine the five Buddhas as occupying different directions on the same horizontal plane. One in the center, one north, one south, one east, and one west, all on the same horizontal plane. And then we must imagine running through the center of this plane, imagine a central vertical axis. And in the zenith, imagine the Dharma body, in the Nadir, the created body. So that we see, thinking in this way three-dimensionally, imagining in this way, we see that the ideal Buddha is in vertical alignment with both, with the Dharma body up there in the zenith and the created body down there in the nadir, as well as in horizontal alignment with the two other pairs of ideal Buddhas. So that in a sense the ideal Buddha in the centre, the archetypal Buddha, is the centre of the whole three-dimensional network. This is the view, this is the vision, if you like, of the Tantra. All right, now for the symbolism of the five Buddhas individually.